It has
often intrigued me. What was the thorn in St. Paul's side, this great weakness that existed? We don't know exactly, but when we put it in the context with today's gospel, I'm just going to flesh out a few little things there that might ring a bell for you. They do for me, because it's a wonderful gospel to read, whether you read Matthew's gospel or Luke's version of Jesus' rejection at Nazareth. It's a truly wonderful gospel, and I think that the church has very cleverly linked St. Paul's reading there about this weakness. I think they've linked them together beautifully, because quite often the second reading doesn't kind of always connect the way that we would like it to with the gospel. But that's certainly not the case, for me anyway, this weekend. Now, the weakness that Paul talks about, some have suggested that it might have been the fact that he was quite short, and therefore, for him to proclaim the gospel the way that he wanted to, he actually had to be seen above crowds or raise his voice. Now, there's not a lot of evidence, but it could be a possibility, and it makes a bit of sense. Clearly, this thing was something that was both real and it was physical. It may well have been an ailment that he had, and we know that if you read part of the Acts of the Apostles, that he certainly had problems with his eyesight. So that it could have been that. We're not really quite sure. But the beautiful line that comes from his weakness in today's second reading is from Jesus himself: "My grace is enough for you. My power is at its best in weakness." That's so encouraging, I find. My grace is enough for you. The amount of times in our lives, including my own especially, that I need to say those words out aloud when I am confronted with something that really demonstrates my weakness, or something that makes me very uncomfortable, and it's a personal thing. I've got to remember those words: my grace is enough for you. So if we were to use these scriptures tonight as a retreat experience, in a sense, what would you name as your weaknesses? What are your biggest weaknesses, as it were? And then I would ask you, how do you live with those? What do you do with it? How do you live with those weaknesses? Some of them, during the course of our life as we mature, we conquer. We can sometimes cure them, as it were. Others keep reoccurring. It's interesting the number of times that when we go to the sacrament of reconciliation, we are mentioning things that we mentioned when we were teenagers. I've said to people, yeah, but I think as we get older, we sort of master that sin. And perhaps we do. And that's just one portion of what a weakness is. But what are those weaknesses? I want to fast forward now into the gospel, because I think there are three in there that some of us here tonight might just tap into when we talk about weaknesses, talking about living with weakness, and talking about asking for the grace to turn that weakness into something which is an instrument in the powerful hand of God. The first thing I'd say is our weakness, is it the fear of rejection? And with that, I'd probably also put the fear of not being successful. Some might say, is it the fear of not being popular or not being liked? So let's just say rejection. Is that our weakness? We have a fear of rejection. My grace is enough for you. Jesus went to his hometown and he was rejected. We hear in Mark's version tonight. We also hear that they say, he's here, the son of Mary. Joseph doesn't get a mention. You have to read Matthew's gospel to get Joseph, the son of Joseph the carpenter, we're told. So we not only get Jesus' heritage there through Joseph, but what he's known for, which is his working with wood and most probably stone. So So Jesus, for us reading it, we see there is a rejection there. But for Jesus, that becomes a strength. He is not bothered by rejection. That rejection in his hometown is nothing compared to what's coming down the track. Admittedly, when he leaves Nazareth, that district, he doesn't go back, according to Mark's version. He never returns. He moves on. That rejection, in one sense, if you read the words slowly and carefully, they're actually quite sad. The last part of the gospel there. He was amazed at their lack of faith. That's not, wow, they've got no faith. That's a sad phrase. He was just amazed at their lack of faith. When people outside of Nazareth, non-Jews, exercised their faith by recognising Jesus through the things that he did and said, yet his own people couldn't. That didn't stop Jesus. That fear of rejection, if it's a weakness, can be conquered because he was his own person. The second thing that I would say is that could be a weakness for some of us is actually our lack of faith. So how do we demonstrate the faith in our life? Is it by, you know, letting everybody know that we come to Mass on Saturday night or Sunday morning and I'm trying my best to be the good little Catholic? Or is it something more substantial than what people observe, the optics, to use modern parlance? What is the way that I demonstrate my faith? Is it absolutely genuine or am I role-playing? And I would say that to myself, firstly, very carefully, being a public person of faith. We have to be very careful not to be seen to be acting out something. We have to be seen to be living what it is we believe. And Jesus was saddened by their lack of faith. So is the weakness in my life a lack of faith? And do I cover it up with other things in my life? Do I overshoot the mark, as it were, in trying to be pious or demonstrate some sort of holiness that is almost unattainable for the people who look on? Or is my faith, it's not so much lacking, but sometimes there is a doubt there. It just gets all too hard or all too complicated for me. And I think that these things do happen in our life for each and every one of us. I think they're there, but it's what we do with them. So that's why I say right at the beginning, what is my weakness? And then what do I do with it in my life? How do I live with that in my life? And if my lack of faith is a weakness in my life, then what am I going to do about it? There are things that I can do, wonderful resources, but the starting place would have to be acknowledging my grace is enough for you. So that would indicate to me that our conversation with God, particularly through Jesus, is the starting point, and that would be prayer. To once again hear those words, my grace is enough for you. And the third thing that I would say might be a weakness for some people is the fear of being themselves. I said when I looked at point one, the fear of rejection, Jesus didn't have that. He had no fear in him of being who he was. Whereas many of us carry a weakness, which is a fear of being discovered, a fear of being found out that I'm actually not that holy, I'm not that religious, a fear of whatever it might be. I'm actually not that good at my job, but I can bluff my way through. Jesus never had that. He never let this experience in his hometown overwhelm him in any sense. It made him sad, as I say. And that's the interpretation I get from Mark's gospel. He was amazed at their lack of faith. But that was not enough to stop him. He cured a few people, Mark tells us, by laying his hands on them. And then he picked up his bits and pieces and he moved on. Next week you're going to hear how, when he moved on, how he gave the apostles, the first 12, how he gave them the courage to conquer their weakness, their inhibition, their fear of going out
and being themselves and being proclaimers of the gospel. It's a challenge. I admit that. It's particularly a challenge in a world that is so visual, so plugged into the optics, the way that we observe people. We are very visual people, and our church is a very visual church. And we either get it right by demonstrating our weakness and then doing something about it, or we get it wrong by demonstrating our weakness and doing nothing about it. Perhaps this week, this Natsik week, is a time for us as Catholic faithful people to really do something about our understanding and our relationship with First Nations people. This is a very good opportunity. It doesn't require a designated week to have that conversation, but this is a time that we can plug in and find out a little bit more about the people on whose land we celebrate our faith. Perhaps one of our weaknesses is that we won't let our faith blend into the spirituality or the faith of the custodians of this land. But the starting point for every conversation for us as faithful people must be talking to Jesus. It must be prayer. It must be acknowledging that his grace is enough for us. His power is at its best in our weakness.